A theory of everything? As I mentioned earlier, string theory is the leading candidate for a theory of everything. Yet there are opposing camps on whether the string theory lives up to this claim. On the one hand, people like MIT professor Max Tegmark write, "In 2056, I think you'll be able to buy a t-shirt on which are printed equations describing the unified physical laws of our universe." On the other hand, there is an emerging band of determined critics who claim that the string bandwagon has yet to deliver. No matter how many breathless articles or TV documentaries are produced concerning string theory, it has yet to produce a single testable fact, some say. It's a theory of nothing rather than a theory of everything, claim the critics. The debate heated up considerably in 2002 when Stephen Hawking switched sides, quoting the incompleteness theorem, and said that a theory of everything might even be mathematically impossible. It's not surprising that the debate has pitted physicists against physicists, because the goal is so lofty if elusive. The quest to unify all the laws of nature has tantalized and lured philosophers and physicists alike for millennia. Socrates himself once said, "It seemed to me a superlative thing to know the explanation of everything, why it comes to be, why it perishes, why it is." The first serious proposal for a theory of everything dates back to about 500 BC, when the Greek Pythagoreans are credited with deciphering the mathematical laws of music. By analyzing the nodes and vibrations of a lyre string, they showed that music obeyed remarkably simple mathematics. They then speculated that all of nature could be explained in the harmonies of the lyre string. In some sense, string theory brings back the dream of the Pythagoreans. In modern times, nearly all the giants of 20th century physics tried their luck with a unified field theory. But, as Freeman Dyson cautions, the ground of physics is littered with the corpses of unified theories. In 1928, the New York Times ran the sensational headline, "Einstein on Verge of Great Discovery, Resents Intrusion." The news story helped spark a media-feeding frenzy over a theory of everything that was whipped up to a feverish pitch. Headlines blared, "Einstein is amazed at stir over theory, holds 100 journalists at bay for a week." Scores of journalists swarmed around his home in Berlin, maintaining a nonstop vigil, waiting to catch a glimpse of the genius and grab a headline. Einstein was forced to go into hiding. Astronomer Arthur Eddington wrote to Einstein, "You may be amused to hear that one of our great department stores in London, Selfridges, has posted on its window your paper, the 6 pages pasted up side by side, so that passers-by can read it all through. Large crowds gather around to read it." In 1923, Eddington proposed his own unified field theory, on which he worked tirelessly for the rest of his life, until he died in 1944. In 1946, Erwin Schrödinger, one of the founders of quantum mechanics, held a press conference to propose his unified field theory. Even Ireland's prime minister, Éamon de Valera, showed up. When a reporter asked him what he would do if his theory was wrong, Schrödinger replied, "I believe I am right. I shall look like an awful fool if I am wrong." Schrödinger was humiliated when Einstein politely pointed out the errors in his theory. The harshest of all critics of unification was physicist Wolfgang Pauli. He chided Einstein, saying, "What God has torn asunder, let no man put together." He mercilessly put down any half-baked theory with the quip, "It's not even wrong." So it is ironic that the supreme cynic Pauli himself caught the bug. In the 1950s, he proposed his own unified field theory with Werner Heisenberg. In 1958, Pauli presented the Heisenberg-Pauli Unified Theory at Columbia University. Niels Bohr was in the audience, and he was not impressed. Bohr stood up and said, "We in the back are convinced that your theory is crazy, but what divides us is whether your theory is crazy enough." The criticism was crushing. Since all the obvious theories had been considered and rejected, The true unified field theory must be a dazzling departure from the past. The Heisenberg poly theory was simply too conventional, too ordinary, too sane to be the true theory. That year, Pauli was disturbed when Heisenberg commented on a radio broadcast that only a few technical details were left in their theory. Pauli sent his friends a letter with a blank rectangle, with the caption, "This is to show the world I can paint like Titian. Only technical details are missing."